And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi. Baby,
hello, British Columbia, and welcome to today's show. Well, we're only 5 weeks out to Christmas, I hate to tell you that, but I hope you're well on your way to holiday shopping, especially if you're going to shop online. One of the things you should think about is doing it earlier. Of course, those shipping dates sort of close down as you get closer to mid-December, so it's best to shop now and avoid all that rush. Now, on the big show for us today, it's our sixth anniversary here at Bell Media, and the show today, we thought the best way to celebrate that was to take you around the globe and listen to some of our favorite interviews this year. The plan is to travel to the Rhone Valley, the Okanagan Valley, central Spain, as well as the high-altitude vineyards in Argentina to talk to some very intriguing guests. Now, up first is Frederic Chaudière. He's the, I guess you would say he's the global face of a really strong family winery that sits underneath Mont Ventoux. It's a very special place. Frederic and his brother have worked hard. They're growing biodynamically. They're on steep slopes. They're doing all the things we talk about in many shows and doing it as well as anybody across, the world. It's all happening at Château Pesqui. And, well, I'll let Frederic do the talking, but you won't want to miss that. Taylor Whelan joins us, of course. He's in charge at Cedar Creek Estate, both wine grower and winemaker. Taylor is deep into the sustainability projects that are going on at Cedar Creek and across the Okanagan. That's another topic we've spent a lot of time on this year. And also we're going to talk to him about the challenges of growing grapes at 50 degrees north. These guys are growing grapes right on the line. If they don't get enough heat, they got no vintage. If it gets too cold, they've got no vintage. So it's a risky place, but the rewards are super big. Then we head to Spain. We're going to talk with Natalie Bonhomme. She's got some really interesting wines, including two dirt cheap red and white wines you can buy in the marketplace under $20. And Natalie's story is one of a young Canadian really with no dough who became involved in winemaking in Europe, met all the big guys, found out where all the great wines were, sold a lot of them, and now is making wine and using her valuable knowledge of those vineyards to source fantastic grapes. Now, we wrap up the show with Dr. Laura Catena. Laura's been on the show many times, mostly because she's brilliant. She thinks big, and she thinks well ahead of most other people. That's what makes her special, and the wines of Catena Zapata. That's another interview you won't want to miss. All that is coming up on the show today. Sit back, relax, enjoy the BC Food and Wine Radio Show. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Join Anthony Gismondi and BC Food and Wine Radio at the 45th Vancouver International Wine Festival, February 24th to March 3rd, 2024. Discover Italy at the International Festival Tastings, featuring 149 wineries from 12 countries. Tickets are on sale now. Plus, get a free tasting ticket worth up to $135 when you book a downtown hotel via stayvancouverhotels.com. Don't wine and drive. The festival runs February 24th to March 3rd at the Vancouver Convention Center and other venues. Full details at vanwinefest.ca.
What happens when you combine the finest wine grapes with a uniquely rocky terroir? Clos du Soleil invites you to discover the answer. Located in the heart of the Similkameen Valley, Clos du Soleil have dedicated themselves to crafting wines that are a true reflection of this wild and beautiful place. Elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, where the spirit of the Similkameen speaks through every bottle. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Plan your winter vacation around these great events or give the gift of a great Penticton experience this holiday season. Watch A Nice Family Christmas, a Many Hats Theater production playing until December 3rd. Get your tickets for the Fire and Ice Dinner event at Ink Meep Cellars December 1st. Light up the vines with Summerland's Bottleneck Drive December 1st and 2nd. And catch Cirque du Soleil's Corteo at the SOEC January 4th to 7th. Go to visitpenticton.com for information on these and more upcoming events.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like
hello, British Columbia. We're back. On the show today, we're recalling some of the top conversations this year. This chat takes us back to the storytelling master, Frederic Chaudière. He's a proprietor and winemaker at Chateau Pesky, who joined us on the stage at the International Wine Festival. Pesky is located in Montmorin, France, at the foot of Mont Ventoux in the southeastern Rhone Valley. You'll know that mountain peak as it's the highest peak in the region, and it's a feature climb of the Tour de France. Not that I'd want to ride up it. Imagine its majesty as you drive up to discover the vineyard, its Provençal castle of the 18th century, and its alley of plane trees more than 300 years old. Here is the always engaging Frederic Chaudière.
Well, Chateau Pesky is a family estate, and we're based in the southeast of France, in the south of the Rhone Valley,
yep,
in a small AOC called Ventoux.
Yep.
And it has been named after the Mont Ventoux. You know, people that follows the Tour de France will know a little bit where it is. It's kind of a legendary stage of it. But what it comes down to is that we're kind of so southeast of the Rhone Valley, half an hour east of Châteauneuf-du-Pape, but higher up.
Yeah.
It's really the combination of the elevation and the influence of the mountain that makes our terroir what it is. And so we have a cooler climate. And this is very much the DNA of Ventoux. Mm-hmm. Brightness, freshness, cool climate.
And you and your family are farming it in a very special way.
Well, it's a three-generation operation.
Yeah.
My grandparents started it in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. And then Paul and Edith, my parents, took it over in the mid-80s. And now it's my brother Alex and I who are running it. It's been close to 20 years now. Years are passing.
Wow.
And one of the first thing we did when we took over was organizing the move from sustainable to organic. So the first plots that were certified were in 2007. Mm-hmm. And since 2015, we've been experimenting biodynamic practices.
Wow.
First for like 20% of the estate and quickly for all of it.
Yeah.
So since 2019, all the estate is kind of certified by Demeter.
Yeah, I know that it's super complicated to explain, but how could we easily say something to consumers who to buy a biodynamic wine? What is it that they're buying into?
That's a very good question. I'm still trying to figure it out, but but if I were to try to make it simple, I think there's nothing. At least the way we look at it is not at all esoterical. It's rather the contrary. It's very much about observing more the vines and following more what's happening in the vineyards.
Yeah,
and we've basically adding a few practices to organic to make sure that we'll have a more balanced soil and a healthier vine.
All right.
But, you know, there's no revealed truth or we are not in contact with whatever.
But it's planets. Good for you and your kids and everybody working in the vineyard, and it's a healthy environment. I think we can say that.
That was the key of moving to organic.
Okay, well, you mentioned the Rhone and Ventoux. Let's talk about the grapes that are important to you and what you're growing there.
Well, you know, we're in the Southern Rhone, so we're kind of crazy blenders.
Yeah.
We have so many white and red varieties, and we actually do a little bit of rosé as well. But to summarize, let's say that despite the fact that we're very much in the south, I like to see us as a crossroad between Northern Rhone and Southern Rhone. Yeah. So the Northern Rhone varieties, Viognier and Roussanne, are still very much at ease in the south, with Clairet and Grenache Blanc or Bourboulenc, which are really like the Southern Rhone varieties.
Yeah.
And Ferrette, it's a little bit the same. A lot of Syrah, Northern Rhone, but still fresh and balanced. And Grenache, the king variety of the south.
Yeah.
Cinsault, Mourvèdre, Carignan, Marcellin.
The sleepers.
There's a lot of varieties happening in the area.
Okay. Well, you make a number of wines. So today you brought, I would say, how would we describe the Terrasses? It's kind of like a flagship, at least for consumers, their entry into Pesky.
It would exactly be the word I would use. It's been an ambassador showing how much value and complexity and terroir and in the same time accessibility we can find in the wines from the Ventoux.
Yeah.
It's a quintessentially Southern Rhone blend, 60% Grenache, 40% Syrah, but kind of with a lift, you know, that is brought by the elevation, the influence of the mountain. So, yeah, very much an ambassador for us.
Yeah, and you can buy this wine. I mean, you can drink this wine now, but you could also age this wine for, 5 or 7 years. I think it would be just fine.
Easy. Yeah. I can't promise it's going to become crazy after 20 years, but it does have an impressive ageability. And this is a 2020, which really has both like the sun and the freshness. It's a great example of a vintage.
I love when you say the sun. You can taste the sun in it. The spice.
Yeah.
And the freshness. It's all wrapped up in one.
And we tried to keep like very bright fruit. There's no oak at all. It's concrete, a bit of stainless steel.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have all the brightness that our mountain can bring in the wines.
How old are the vineyards that these are coming off of? Are they
the average age would be about 30 years? There's some younger vines, some older ones.
Yeah,
it's kind of the estates blend, if I can say. Our soil are mostly characteristic by limestone.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of clay, a little bit of sand, a little bit of marl, and it. Somehow we as much blend soils than varieties in this wine.
Right.
And you get all the complexity thanks to that.
Our guest is Frédéric Chaudière. He's a proprietor and winemaker at Château Pesky in the, do we say the Eastern Rhone or how?
Well, southeast of the Rhone. Ventoux. We say
Ventoux. There we go. Let's stick with that. okay, Frédéric, you brought another wine that we should discuss here called Artemia.
This is a very different one. Well, first of all, it's more on the Syrah side. And it is one of our three single vineyards.
Yeah.
So I wanted to show kind of two different faces of what we can produce in the Ventoux. It's a much more complex and ambitious wine. It's a cuvée we started in 2004. This is the 2019 vintage. But I was telling you that somehow we're in the crossroad between Southern Rhone and Northern Rhone. Well, this is a good example of how northern we can be in the Ventoux. So 80% Syrah.
It smells northern. It smells northern to me.
It definitely, you have that kind of graphite and kind of bacon-ish element. 80 Syrah, 20 Grenache.
Wow. That's so delicious.
Thank you.
It's a strange plot.
It's one of the most elevated on the estate at 400 meters, and it always has this distinctive Syrah character.
And I imagine it's different because if it's a single vineyard wine, then every year it's, you know, there's something, it's not the same. It's not like a blend that you can keep the style the same.
It is a challenge, but in fact, the terroir is so powerful that, of course, in different way with each vintage, it's a very distinguished taste, distinguishable taste.
Yeah. We've been talking about red wines. Of course, Pesky has a number of white wines in the market. There are a lot of fun wines here, including one named after your daughter.
Juliette. The Cuvée Juliette, indeed.
Which is a fun wine. And a rosé now.
Yes, we have the Quintessence Rosé.
Yeah.
These two wines, so the Cuvée Juliette is named after our little girl. So we're two brothers, but We also, my brother had two sons. I had one son. There was too many boys in this family.
Too many boys, yeah.
Finally, 3 years ago, Juliette came along. And so one of the rewards was a cuvée. It's a Clairette-driven white wine.
Mm-hmm.
And the last birth, let's say, after Juliette was Quintessence Rosé, which is a kind of gastronomic rosé, a rosé you can keep and age. Mourvèdre driven,
mm-hmm.
With a little bit of cinsault and claret,
mm-hmm.
fermented in concrete egg,
yeah,
and a 600 liter barrel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not your usual.
It's a complicated little girl,
no doubt. It's a very complicated
yeah.
one.
Shadow Pesky, folks, you can buy this one. Is widely available in British Columbia. It's $21.99. You'll find it in a number of government liquor stores, and then all of the other lineup is available in select private wine shops in BC. And, of course, you're selling wine across Canada.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Quebec, Ontario. But BC has been a very good market for us for a very long time. Thank you, Vancouver. Thank you, BC,
yeah.
for being yeah. so supportive to us.
Great to catch up with you. Will we see you in the next Tour de France? Or do you just stand by the hillside as they drive up?
I was maybe from afar, but definitely not on the bike. I've been making progress, but I'll never achieve that kind of...
That hill's pretty steep.
No, it's impossible.
How high is Mont Ventoux?
1912 meters.
Wow.
Yeah,
which is a wine. You make a wine called 1912.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. Frederick, great to see you.
Anthony, yeah. thank you so much for having me today.
That was Frederick Chaudière, proprietor, winemaker, Chateau Pesky. If you've got plans to visit the Rhone Valley, this is a must stop. Now up next, Taylor Whalen. He joins us, the winemaker from Cedar Creek, the State Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Attention wine connoisseurs, Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Erin Krebbaugh. She's the Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Erin, I've heard that local Langley wineries have something fun going on at the moment.
That's right, Anthony. 8 Langley and 5 Abbotsford wineries have gotten together and created the Fraser Valley Wine Passport.
Okay, can you tell us a bit about how it's going to work?
If you visit any of the 13 participating wineries, you can purchase a passport for $20. Once you have the passport, you can visit the wineries until the end of November and receive a complimentary tasting at each one.
That sounds like an excellent opportunity to explore Fraser Valley wines at a giveaway price.
Yes, my friends and I have purchased our passports. It's fun to visit a winery or two each weekend, and I'm also working on adding to my holiday wine collection while I'm at it.
Now, I understand there's also a give back component as well as the opportunity to win a grand prize.
That's right. Proceeds from the passport go to the Pacific Riding for Developing Abilities. And for each stamp you collect in your passport, you get an entry for the grand prize, which is a wine fridge filled with 26 bottles of wine, which is 2 from each participating winery.
Erin, that's great. Are there any other stops you might suggest for people using the passport?
Well, there have been some great holiday markets already announced if you want to get a start on that holiday shopping. Many wineries are located close to business passes on the Langley Circle Farm Tour route. Grabbing a brochure while you're at one of the wineries will give you some great ideas on other stops you could make.
And we'll find all the details for all of the events on your website.
That's right.
Erin, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi. You make me feel
like I'm living a teenage dream. Hello, British Columbia, and we're back. A special shout out to Nelson, Castlegar, and all 25 cities in total listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. I'm Anthony Gismondi. Hey, from the Rhone Valley to the Northern Okanagan, we caught up with winemaker Taylor Whalen of Cedar Creek Estate Winery to talk about sustainability and the challenge of growing grapes at 50 degrees north. Taylor, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Anthony. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Always fun to taste wine with you and talk about your vineyards and sustainability. It seems to me that the BC Sustainability Program is drawing more and more wineries in now. We see them signing up finally in numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's these kind of programs tend to be kind of slow to get off the ground and then begin to accumulate members, and that's what you're starting to see now. Absolutely, there's been lots of signups even this year. So,
and why, like, what, why is it important for consumers that wineries go sustainable?
Well, it's important for everybody. It's important for the wineries as a business. You know, there's long-term business considerations about climate change and, you know, keeping the valley pristine and beautiful and soils healthy.
Yeah.
For the consumer, the nice thing is sustainability leads to better wines as well. If you're farming more sustainably and making wine more sustainably, you typically end up with higher wine quality in the bottle, which everybody wins.
Yeah. And it's about people, too. It's not just about wine. So that's kind of nice to the people that work for you and the way that they live their lives.
That's right. It's employees, you know, need to be paying fair wages, and people need to be well compensated and healthy and happy, and community wise as well. It's nice for the people that are living around the wineries to feel like the vineyards are being farmed healthily and they're not at risk.
Yeah.
You want to be welcomed by your neighbors, not ostracized by them. So,
you know, I had a quick chat with Laura Catena earlier in the year, and she said that we can't be selling $100 wines in London and New York if the people that work for us don't have a home to live in or a way of life. She said it's all part of the culture, and I thought it was a beautiful way of saying, you know, that this is where we're going. You know, we're looking after everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's not easy, you know. The Okanagan's not an inexpensive place to operate and to live. So, yeah, it takes careful consideration and some generosity to make sure people are happy. Yeah.
So at Cedar Creek, you're focused in you have a focus on the north now. So how does that fit in? What's going on with the sub-GIs? What is the north of Kelowna or the east? Can you explain to our listeners what's going on?
Totally, yeah. So pretty diverse region for how small it is.
Yeah.
And that's mostly based on a couple of things. So proximity to the lake, that big Okanagan lake moderates our climate a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then soil type, like how the soils were formed. And in that small, compact area, you got all kinds of stuff going on. There's old volcanic cores, which forms kind of West Kelowna and Dilworth Mountain. You've got East Kelowna, which is a big like sediment fan created by Mission Creek.
Yeah.
And then you've got South Kelowna Slopes, which is really this really beautifully sloped area that was ground down by all the ice that piled up over top of it. And all these changes, all these variations produce really, really different growing conditions and very different wines as well.
Yeah. And do you think people are accepting this now? Are they coming to know, say, well, this is important, or I see why it's different?
Yeah, I mean, up until we formalized it in these sub-GIs, it was more of a, I like the wines from, you know, Cedar Creek and Summerhill or Tantalus and Spearhead.
Yeah.
Now that we're telling these stories and talking about the similarities between the wineries and vineyards, it's clicking for people.
I love it.
Yeah.
You brought a couple of wines today. I want to spend some time on them. So let's maybe talk about this with this wine in our glass. So we're starting with the Platinum 22 Sauvignon Blanc.
Correct. Yeah, this is a freshie, a brand new bottling for us. First time we've made a Platinum Sauvignon Blanc from the north, and I think it's something that's going to have a lot of legs moving forward. We've got Sauvignon Blanc planted in Naramata, in Kelowna, in Lake Country, and the intention is for Cedar Creek to be a big player in Northern Savvy as we move forward.
And you say platinum a lot, so what does it mean to be in get a platinum label at Cedar Creek?
Yeah, it means you're the best of the bunch, essentially. So
okay.
For platinum, we're actually starting to follow this sub-GI idea with our platinum tier. So more and more you're going to see not single vineyard wines in platinum, but sub-GI wines like this, which is Naramata Bench VQA.
Which is delicious, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow, I really love that wine because I love the balance in it, the attention, the tension, the acidity, the brightness, and then there's a richness of, you know, I don't know, would I say lees or a creaminess
yep.
in there?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's a cool wine. We fermented it wild. It's all concrete and oak. We had a lot of fun making it.
Our guest is Taylor Whelan. He's the winemaker at Cedar Creek Estate Winery. Do you care about, I mean, I know you care, but do you care about whether it's a New Zealand style or a Sancerre style, or obviously it's an Okanagan style, but what do you think about where it is in all those?
In my head, I have an idea of what I'd like it to be,
yeah.
But then you really do have to adjust based on what the vineyard gives you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this, for us, I love Sancerre, and I've been there, and I, mm-hmm. you know, I have these memories of it. That was our goal going in, but the fruit's much different than Sancerre, and so mm-hmm. you have to kind of adjust, like, oh, this concrete looks really nice, so let's keep it in concrete for a few more months and focus on those creamy lees. And,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's a combination.
It's a bit reminiscent, though. It doesn't have that sort of screeching Kiwi style.
No.
Or Leda style from Chile. So it's a really lovely glass of wine.
Thank you.
People should grab that when they can. Okay, and then now we're back to the Aspect collection. Let's start with that.
Absolutely. So that's an even tighter family of wines, I guess you would say. And those wines are all being produced from our home block estate up in Kelowna, like mm-hmm. the original Cedar Creek vineyard.
Yep.
Oldest blocks, best soils, coolest aspects, no pun intended. These are very small production wines that are essentially the best of the best of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all allocated to wine clubs, so you can't actually access the wines unless you're a member of our Aspect Club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a tough year. It was a tough winter. It's been a tough year for the Okanagan, and it looks like there's going to be less wine all around, which to me means that perhaps people need to join the wine club to ensure that they might get these wines for the next couple of years at least.
Absolutely, yeah. We've had a couple of hard winters in a row, and so that means supply is going down a bit.
Yeah.
We'll be focused on making as much premium wine as we can, foregoing the entry-level stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll also be limiting access to the wines. If you want the wines, any wines from Cedar Creek, it's a good idea to sign up for the club now so you have access to them.
Yeah. Well, I hear that wind. The year's kind of winding down, but at Cedar Creek, it just proceeds. Eh? People will come through the entire fall and winter months at Cedar Creek, and how do they best enjoy what's on site?
Get in touch, hop on the webpage or get in touch with our tasting room, book an experience. We've got all kinds of different levels of experiences mm-hmm. from kind of an entry-level tasting all the way up to a very curated luxury tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, home block restaurants open all year as well, and they're very busy up until Christmas and New Year's. So it's a great time to come to site and kind of get into the festivities.
All right, back to the Aspect. Now, this is the 2020 Aspect. How? Let's just walk our people through this wine if they're listening. They don't have it, but maybe they should have it. But we'll drink it for them while we go through it.
That sounds great. Yep. So looking at it in the glass, it's a beautiful kind of cherry color. There's a tiny bit of cloudiness in it because it's unfined, unfiltered. Hop on the nose. Once again, you see these dark cherry notes with a little bit of like a dried leaf forest floor type
yep.
thing going on.
Yep.
And then on the palate, it's not a shrinking violet. There's a decent amount of weight and texture here. And
but it's very silky.
Tannin. Yeah, absolutely.
You think the tannins are well managed, I guess.
Yes, we try and manage them well. they don't like it sometimes. But
yeah,
so 30-year-old vines, that helps a lot with those tannins as well.
Yeah. Well, the OGs call it the heartbreak grape. Do you believe in any of that or what?
Yes,
yeah?
Absolutely.
You do?
Yeah. It's funny, like, I do make a little bit of Cab Franc and Syrah as well, and it's so much easier to make those.
You can go home at night when the Cab Franc's cooking,
that's
but
right.
not the Pinot.
That's right. No offense to my winemaking brethren, but Pinot is the hardest, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a wine that you haven't made yet that you want to make?
Yeah. At Cedar Creek, in the new plantings, we have Gruner. Veltliner planted.
Oh, wow.
And we have Gamay Noir. And I have never made either of those varieties.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to get into both of them.
Yeah, they could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It seems like there's more and more interest. Like, I mean, obviously people in the wine business are very interested in white wine at the moment. And maybe Italy's leading the charge with so many different ones. But I think we have an opportunity here, given what's available in a valley that's 175 kilometers long or whatever, to do a lot of interesting stuff.
I think so, too. I love drinking white wine. I drink more white than red myself.
Yeah.
You know, our summers, they're 6 or 7 months long. It just makes sense that we would produce a lot of white wine here as well. And as we expand northward or up the valley walls and higher altitude plantings, we're going to see some more beautiful whites, I think.
Yeah. Yep. CedarCreekBC.ca
yes.
Is where everybody can go to get information about these wines that we've been talking about and many others. And really, folks, if you haven't joined a wine club, now is the time because the supply will be tight for a couple of years, and it's the best way to get what you want ahead of the crowd. Taylor, always great to catch up with you.
Thank you, Anthony. Nice to see you.
Have a great fall, winter season. Maybe a bit of a rest. And
yes.
We'll hope for a bright new season in 24.
Sounds great. Thank you.
That was Taylor Whalen, winemaker of Cedar Creek Estate Winery in East Kelowna. Up next, we travel to Spain and France to speak with Natalie Bonhomme, winemaker, Les Vins Bonhomme.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at LiberEstates.com. Simply great wines.
Visit Penticton this holiday season for mountain adventures and Okanagan wine. Experience one of over 80 nearby wineries with an intimate winter wine tasting. Discover local ice wines or pick up a holiday gift pack, basket, or even a case of wine. If you can't make it in, shop online and have the wine shipped right to your house. Before you go to Penticton, check out the website for information on wine tours, tasting room hours, winter highway conditions, and for more trip inspiration, go to visitpenticton.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with great acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Most people have a casual connection with wine, as in they like to drink it. We think it's essential to read the label and whenever possible to connect with the people who make the wine. They energize you, and unlike many businesses, they'll answer most all of your questions about where the wine comes from and how it's made. Then the next time you pour a glass of wine, you'll realize it's more than just something you like to drink. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and wherever you are in your wine journey, we'll meet you at GismondiOnWine.com.
Celebrate the holidays in style at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos. Grab your group of friends on December 15th for a holiday party featuring local entertainment and a festive gourmet buffet. Or host your own private event for your team. And when the celebrations are over, just take the elevator home back to your room with their special holiday party rates. You can find out more by emailing sales at watermarkbeachresort.com or call 250-495-5511.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi. My
Hello, British Columbia. We're back, and we're taking you around the globe with the show today. In this discussion, we focus on Spain and France. This chat was from earlier this year with Canadian Natalie Bonhomme, winemaker at Les Vins de Bonhomme. In 1991, Natalie returned to Spain to the bedside of a sick relative and took up residence in Alicante and started making wine there as well. We'll leave it there, and we'll let Natalie tell the rest of the story.
Hi, Tony. Hi, BC. Thank you for having me. It's great to be with you. A bit late here, but you got me
yeah.
Just in time.
Well, thanks for staying up to talk to us. We really love what's going on in Spain at the moment. I don't know if you can you know put it in a short number of words, but why is Spain so exciting at the moment in the wine business? It seems so much different than other wine producing countries.
Well, I think in short words, it's always like it's a lot of passion. The Spanish people are very passionate about their vines, their vineyards, and also, I mean, there's a new generation really doing a lot of stuff with the older grape varietal, the indigenous grape varietal, and that's fun. They're having fun.
They're having fun. And for some reason, there's a Canadian in the middle of them, too, who's having a lot of fun. And that would be you, Natalie. What's the short history? I mean, I know you went there early on. You've done many things in Spain. How would you describe your journey?
Well, it's been more than 30 years now, Anthony. I've been in Spain. I arrived from South Africa, started making wine with some two of my great friends, are still with them, and we're starting a big adventure. I arrived at the right time. There was a lot of going on then and still now, and I've been doing working with my Bonhomme wines. Yeah, I use my surname because of course Bonhomme means little man and it makes people smile, so I might as well use it. And I started making wines in different regions of Spain. And since 2007, yeah. I have my own wines.
You so know a lot, good. And you know you've worked with so many people and sold some famous people's wines. I mean, you know a lot about the spots in Spain. So tell us about these two wines that you have in our market. We have the Bonhomme Tinto and El Petit Bonhomme Verdejo, the Rueda wine. So let's start with the white wine. And tell our listeners a bit about these two wines.
The white, well, they're all excited, but the white wine is, I'm very proud, very, very proud, because it comes from Rueda, which is in a bit of central Spain, if you want, from old vines, old bush vines, yeah? They are, like, they are spectacular. They live in sand, like on the beach, and they are organic, which is a big, big task in that part of Spain. So we're very, very proud. The Petit Bonhomme white is organic, and that's it. And we managed to produce low yields, but we managed to produce this wine with all our passion and all our know-how, and to make it happen. It's a small production, and it's not a big production. Sometimes people think that I'm a big producer, but I'm not. I'm very small, especially with this one, because of course all vines produce low yields. So all vines produce low yields. So we managed to keep a. Just to make this El Petit Bonhomme in Canada. I only sell it in Canada, the white one.
And Natalie,
for the red one is...
Sorry, yeah. Natalie, if you were to describe the Verdejo to a Canadian buying that bottle, what would they expect when they open the bottle?
They would expect... if people are pretty much more... they know a lot more about Sauvignon Blanc. So they would expect in the same profile, if you want, yep. But not so very agrume, I would say, and very mineral as well. We have a lot of minerality because, of course, the sandy soil. But also, I will go more in the profile of a Sauvignon Blanc, but not so much more floral, much more easy if you want on the palate, much more friendly with all the pairing that you can match with,
like West Coast
and
seafood
for the red.
Yep.
Yeah, with seafood, of course, with seafood and all type of clams and all the white fish as well. You know, Spain is a big fish market. And for the red one, we're in Jumilla, which is in the south. And there is like spectacular. So everything is spectacular there. And I'm telling you, Anthony, everybody should see that because it's difficult to describe. I just had a bunch of Canadians with me 2 weeks ago, and I think I'm going to do a virtual reality like this.
Yeah.
Because it's so incredible. People arrive there, and it's like, I can't believe it. And then it's very difficult to describe, but I'll try my best. So basically, it's kind of, I feel like sometimes I'm in Africa because the bare landscape, you have like vines, all vines are planted 2 meters by 2 meters. So it's And they are all between 70 and 25 years old. Mm-hmm. And the yield is very low, okay? And they're all organic. It rains very, very little there. We're all prepared for it. In 2012, it didn't rain at all. Just to tell you, it does happen. And so what does it do? It creates like a very richness and very concentrated fruit. And which we change over the years, of course, the vinification. Now we try to harvest earlier to try to get the purity, but also all the tangy, and try to get as much the pH, to control our pH, to get as fresh wine, fresh red wine. And this is where El Petit Bonhomme comes from. It comes from an organic as well. It's organic. It's amazing what we put into this wine. Yeah. Organic grapes, and of course, you know, vegan and all what I believe in.
all the good stuff.
These
two wines sell for $17.99 in British Columbia. You're giving them away. Please don't change the price, but you're giving them away, and people should check these out, because this is what I would describe as real wine that you can drink in the middle of the week. And if you love wine, you'll understand that these are real wine. There's nothing fake about these wines. So check them out. The Rueda Verdejo, and of course the El Tinto, or the Tinto, which is, I think it's a blend now. Is it Monastrell Garnacha Syrah, or how is the blend?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
that's right.
Natalie.
That's exactly that. Yeah.
Now I want to talk to you about Quebec, because I know that you have roots in Quebec, and you're talking about going back to Quebec and either making wine or selling wine. Well, what's going on in Quebec?
Yeah, well, I am going there more and more. I'm there more and more often. I'm from Quebec, of course. And about 4 years ago, the president of the SAQ, she came to me and she explained to me that there was a question of recycling the bottle and doing an economy, a circular economy. Yeah. So the SAQ was really it's still going on. Yeah. I really lost that. You know, I would really love to finish, you know, my final project to be into that vision, yeah, what they have and what I think it should be, because I think we are the planet, our way for us, a part of, obviously, to be organic and to be closer to the earth as possible, is to try to manage the transport, yeah? And the transport, that's one big, for me, it's the one big solution, and and also the energy. We have problem with the energy in Europe, because of course with the war in Ukraine, of course air bottles takes a lot of energy to create, to make a bottle. So if we can make the bottles in Canada and we can bottle in Canada, bring the wine in containers
in bulk,
and do it as one would do here. You know, it's only one part of the process is the transport and it's the bottling.
Yeah.
It's very important. You know, nevertheless, it's very important.
I think it's a really, but if we really can, good idea.
If we can care. If we can care for that as much as we do in Canada, if I bring the wine, which is organic and everything, and if I can bottle it there and use the bottle that we produce in Canada, then we've got
everybody wins.
A good chance of caring more for the environment. Yeah.
We're speaking with Natalie Bonhomme. She's a winemaker in Spain, from Quebec, but been in Europe now over 30 years. Natalie, we're almost out of time, but you've got a new project in France. Can you quickly tell our listeners what we could expect from Domaine du Tix? Is it Tix? T-I-X.
Tix. It's very easy. T-I-X. Yeah.
Yeah.
So me and my husband, we make wine in France, which is good fun. It's a little boutique wine. It's in the Southern Rhone, which is Southern Rhone, Provence, and Vaucluse. So everything. And which is right in front of the Mont Ventoux. So it's fun with Southern Rhone. So, of course, Northern Rhone, as you know, has got a great reputation with Southern. So we're more, you know, the underdog, which I always like to be. we are producing, it's like where there's a fight, there's a will, there's a fun. So we are producing some in small quantity. We're 40,000 bottles, so it's very small. But we're doing Viognier. We're doing a wine called Bonhomme Tremblay, which is fabulous. And we're doing some pet nuts, which I believe is sold in DC now. And that's it. We're having fun. It's great. I'm in the vines, and we're pruning now. We're bottling. We're doing. It's great to compare as well, France and Spain. And one is not very far from the other. So that's my
Natalie,
that's my life in France at the moment.
That was Natalie Bonhomme, winemaker Les Vins Bonhomme. Up next, a masterclass from one of the classiest guests to ever grace our show, a legend in the wine world, Argentinian Dr. Laura Catena.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Join Anthony Gismondi and BC Food and Wine Radio at the 45th Vancouver International Wine Festival, February 24th to March 3rd, 2024. Discover Italy at the International Festival Tastings, featuring 149 wineries from 12 countries. Tickets are on sale now. Plus, get a free tasting ticket worth up to $135 when you book a downtown hotel via stayvancouverhotels.com. Don't wine and drive. The festival runs February 24th to March 3rd at the Vancouver Convention Center and other venues. Full details at vanwinefest.ca.
Plan your November vacation around these great events in Penticton. Get ready to decorate for the holidays with the Reeds and Wine Workshop November 24th at Sia Later Ranch. On the 25th and 26th, get a start on holiday shopping with Sip and Shop at Three Sisters Winery. Indulge in the flavors of the Okanagan with Taste of Harvest on board the SS Sicamoose November 25th. Or check out the 45 half annual art auction at the Penticton Art Gallery on November 26th. Go to visitpenticton.com for information on these upcoming events.
Celebrate the holidays in style at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos. Grab your group of friends on December 15th for a holiday party featuring local entertainment and a festive gourmet buffet. Or host your own private event for your team. And when the celebrations are over, just take the elevator home back to your room with their special holiday party rates. You can find out more by emailing sales at watermarkbeachresort.com or call 250-495-5511.
Many people ask me which wines they should buy. My first question is, what do you like? Because when I know what they prefer, I can nudge them left or right to something similar, but often better at the same price. But if you don't like the wine, nothing I can say will change your mind. Taste is a personal thing, so ultimately, it's up to you to find a wine writer who aligns with your taste and start from there. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and I invite you to visit my website, gismondionwine.com, to find out if we can agree on something to drink tonight.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tinhorn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Mirador Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tinhorn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi. You're sampling the best.
Better than all the rest. Hello, British Columbia. We're back as we celebrate our 6th anniversary on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network and 26th year of doing the show on the radio. I can tell you few people come to mind who are as special as our next guest. We caught up with Dr. Laura Catena at this year's Vancouver International Wine Festival. It would take us as long as our conversation to fully introduce Laura, a former emergency room doctor in San Francisco and now a worldwide wine icon, taking a firm grip on a legendary family brand. To put it succinctly, Laura is simply the best. Here's our conversation with Dr. Laura Catena.
So I think that when people think of South America, they immediately imagine these beautiful sandy beaches and palm trees and this summer vacation. But yeah, actually in Mendoza, by the Andes, especially if you go up, it snows and it can be quite cold.
Yeah.
It's still warm enough to make wine, but it's very cool. And that's what you need for Chardonnay. So if you think about, you know, Burgundy, it's cooler than Bordeaux. So Burgundy is more Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, and Bordeaux is more Cabernet Merlot. And so in these high-altitude Andean regions, you can make these beautiful mineral Chardonnays. And white stones and white bones come from two different soil types.
Yeah. You're big on soil types at Catena.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting because my Italian great-grandfather, who loved Argentina, he used to actually have a piece of steak every morning for breakfast to celebrate how much he loved Argentina. He used to tell my father, you know, Argentina makes great wine, but don't ever try to compete with the French because they have this thing called terroir and nobody else has it. And, you know, terroir is basically the taste of place. The fact that from one soil, one climate, you're going to get a different taste than from another. And, you know, Burgundy is the epitome of that.
Of course.
But actually, in Mendoza, we've studied the soils and we also have very diverse soils. And we have a vineyard called Adriana that's been called the Grand Cru of South America, where we have, you know, White Stones is a very stony soil next to White Bones, which has more crumbled limestone, looks like bones. That's why I called it White Bones. Yeah. And they have very different flavors and they're right next to each other. So we do have terroir in Argentina, just like you have terroir in Australia, in Chile, in Italy, in Canada.
And I don't know if it's slowly, but you've convinced your team to study in a very scientific way. How do you manage science with the art of winemaking? Well, why are you doing that?
Yeah, well, I founded the Catena Institute in 1995 to elevate Argentine wine. And, you know, I'm a medical doctor. I've done research before. And what I realized was that we didn't have 1,000 years, like, you know, the monks in Burgundy that could do trial and error.
Yeah.
So we needed to do serious research to figure out how to elevate our wines and make great Argentine wines that could age well, that could compete with the best of the world. And in order to do that, we needed to do serious research, you know, with good controls. And so that's why I believe that there is a role for science. On the other hand, you know, wine is very artisanal and training your palate is more of an art. You know, it's kind of like a painter.
Yeah.
You just have to taste a lot. And then when you make a blend, you go more by gut instinct, like with what you like, than by, you know, measuring the alcohol, the pH. That's not going to help you decide if this is a good blend. So I think there's a role for science, you know, a lot in viticulture with climate change. We need to understand, you know, what are the rootstocks? What is the treatment of the vineyard, the cover crops? There's so many things that go into a vineyard. We're now studying the microbes in the soil. And just like microbes are important for the human microbiome, you know, they're important for our human health. Mm-hmm. They're important for vine health. And we've actually studied microbes and we find that in different soils, there's different microbes at different altitudes. So there's all these elements that we need to understand, not necessarily to modify them, but to preserve them.
Yeah.
So if you want to preserve the flavor of a certain place, you need to understand it so that you can preserve it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about Malbec in general. Let's talk about Malbec at Catena, because maybe you could just walk our listeners through the levels and the differences. Like, why do they pay $20 for this wine? Why is one $40? Why is one $100? How do you separate them at Catena?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I think it's important to understand the history of Malbec. You know, it's this 2,000-year-old variety, existence of Roman times.
Yep.
It was, you know, part of the Grand Cru blend, you know, just as important as Cabernet Sauvignon and Bordeaux when the Grand Crus were classified. So this grape almost disappears in France, and it's more of phylloxera. It ripens late. You know, it's all kinds of sort of historical reasons. Then it comes to Argentina, where it's glorious, and it makes a different flavor depending on where you plant it. You know, cool climate, higher altitude, clay soil, stony soils. So, you know, your question is, why does somebody pay more or less? And so, you know, really this French concept of terroir is real. There are some sites that can give you an age-worthy, very profound wine. And there's other sites that give you a simpler wine that's still delicious, but it's not unforgettable. And so, for example, you know, a wine like Catena Malbec, which is, you know, it's not inexpensive. It's like, you know, $26. That is not a cheap wine.
No.
Comes from our different vineyards at different altitudes. It's a blend of vineyards. But, you know, then we have a wine like Adriana, you know, a single vineyard that is only 2 hectares. So a tiny little site that gives this very, very specific flavor, like the whites. The white stones of the Chardonnay, but the red would be like the River or the Fortuna Terra or the Mundus. It's one little parcel that gives you a very specific flavor that you cannot reproduce in other places. And that we make very little of, and it usually costs more. And, you know, this is kind of the way wine works in the whole world. You don't know why some sites make, you know, a wine that is so much more profound, so much better, but it's usually a small site. You don't usually have, you know, 1,000 hectares of gold.
Right.
You know, it's little sites, and that's why you pay more for this particularly great flavor.
Yeah. And it takes time to discover them all or rediscover them, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I have my book, Gold in the Vineyards, where I actually tell the stories of how some of these most famous wines in the world were discovered. And it's basically, you know, multiple generations of a family that is planting in different places until they hit the gold. And that's why the book is called Gold in the Vineyards.
Do you feel like South American wines have been repressed a bit by the great wine world? Like,
well,
in, you know, maybe not today, but there was a period where it was hard to get on the tables in New York or London.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like when we started, we were literally selling one bottle at a time. And my best weapon was blind tasting, because our wines always did well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, right now, Argentine wine is hot at the high end. For the first time ever in 2022, Argentine wine at the higher end is what's growing the most. You know, we're talking about over $100 wines.
Yeah.
And so I think actually the time has kind of come with the pandemic. People started spending more wine for the wine they drank at home. And then they realized that they could pay, you know, $100 for a top Argentine wine. But for a top French wine, they were paying $300, $500, $1,000.
Yeah.
And so I think actually our time to be, you know, in the top level collector wine category is now.
You're catching up to the monks.
Yeah, I'm catching up to the monks.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you cut the time in half.
Yeah.
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 Well, you've done so many great things, Laura, and there's still more to go. You have a family. You have a lot of, you're juggling a lot of balls in your life, but you seem well adjusted.
Yeah, well, actually, my methodology is accepting the B minus. That's my theory. Is in order to do A plus things, you need to do lots of B minus things.
Really?
That's the only way to do it. So my husband likes to say that, you know, he says, my wife is a great mother. She's a great winemaker. She's a great doctor. She's a terrible wife. And sadly for him, it's true.
You're the B minus wife.
I am the B minus wife.
You should accept that. Yeah, he could be more. And before you go, because I love this for some of our Canadian producers, you talk a lot about, you know, if we're selling wines for $100 or more, a couple hundred dollars in restaurants, we still have to look after the people that work for us.
Yeah,
it's absolutely so important.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know, the sustainability of our industry has to do with the people who work in the wineries and the vineyards and who have grown up multiple generations in wine. And this is something that you really need to study the same way you study what to plant in a vineyard. You know, what do people need to be happy? You know, obviously they need economic certainty. They need to know they're going to be paid well. But, you know, there's simple things like they need to know that their kids are going to be able to get a great education. So, for example, we have buses that take kids from these small villages to the better schools in the cities.
Yeah.
And you need to provide internet, which is, in Argentina, internet in the middle of nowhere is extremely expensive. You have to actually buy their internet tower because no service will do it.
Yeah.
And it's a huge investment, but if a child does not have good internet, they cannot learn
succeed.
What needs to be learned or succeed. So I think that you need to get really serious about making the lives of the people working in the vineyard worth living and make it worthwhile for them to stay in the vineyard and not move to the city, which is happening all over the world.
Yeah. Laura, thanks so much for joining us today. Always a great pleasure to catch up with you and to hear you speak about wine. And I hope to see you soon, perhaps in Mendoza. That would be the best.
I hope so. That would be the best.
Yeah, thank you. That was wine icon Dr. Laura Catena of Catena Zapata Wines. That's it for today's show. We certainly hope you enjoyed our stops in the Rhone Valley, the Okanagan Valley, Spain, Argentina, and Chile.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.